The war in Afghanistan has been an opportunity for the U.S. military to show off what it can do with precision bombing, unmanned aircraft, and special operations. A less glamorous element is vital to the war effort. U.S. air crews have made more than 1,000 long-distance cargo flights to American military bases in the war zone. Defense experts say the airlift capability demonstrated in Afghanistan also will be critical to future military operations. NPR's Tom Jaltam reports.
The supply chain for U.S. troops in Afghanistan stretches from bases in the United States to airfields in Germany and then across Eastern Europe and Central Asia. Transporting the troops and everything they need over that distance is a huge undertaking with many critical links. One step is especially tricky. Many of the transport planes making those long flights need to be refueled in midair. It's an exercise requiring skill, steady nerves, and a soft touch. Two big aircraft traveling hundreds of miles an hour, close to within a few dozen feet of each other, and hook up. This Air Force C-17 transport plane en route to Kandahar is about to rendezvous with a tanker over the Black Sea.
Roger, we're currently level 280. We'll be sending shortly to 220. We'll call you when we're level and we're on time. Also for reach 575.
The tanker, flying in the same direction as the C-17, comes steadily closer until it's fewer than 20 feet ahead of the C-17 and slightly above it. A boom extends down and back. The C-17 pilot has to gently move his aircraft into position so that the boom latches into his fuel port. The maneuver requires such careful control that the C-17 pilot, Air Force Captain Jimmy Fuller, has to take his plane off autopilot and fly it manually. In this maneuver, precision counts.
Altitude.
An alarm warns Captain Fuller every time he dips a little too low or moves too high. All conversation in the cockpit stops. A green light on the instrument panel shows the boom has latched into the fuel port, but now the plane must be kept steady to hold the connection while the tanker pumps fuel into the transport plane. Talking about it later, Captain Fuller says he's found the key to successful refueling is staying calm.
The more tense you get, the tighter your hands are, the harder the aircraft is to control. The air refueling that we do is the hardest thing in this aircraft to learn. We don't do it until we become aircraft commanders. You go to aircraft commander school, 90% of that training is to learn how to do the air refueling.
Captain Fuller and his crew this day are flying a plane load of water purification equipment to a military base in Kandahar, Afghanistan. Air refueling is standard on the 8-hour flights from Germany. There's no fuel storage facility at the Kandahar base. Besides, with security still a concern there, air crews want to get in and out as quickly as they can. Captain Fuller says air refueling may, in some cases, be more cost-efficient as well.
We burn so much fuel taking off and descending that if we were to land and climb up again to keep the fuel and keep hopping around the world, it would waste a lot more money. This way it saves money and time because we don't have to land, shut down, restart, and take off again.
When the C-17 lands in Kandahar, Air Force crews are standing by to quickly unhitch and unload the cargo.
Stand back.
Forklifts pull up and cargo pallets or vehicles are pulled off the plane within minutes. A dozen or more of these big transport planes land at the Kandahar base each day. U.S. Army Colonel Frank Rosinski commands the 101st Airborne's Task Force Rakasan, which is headquartered here and depends on the airlift operation.
This is a landlocked country, and normally a lot of us in divisions that have heavier equipment, we come in by port and then rail or road. We didn't have that this time. So we came in by a pure airlock. Everything we eat, everything that we drank initially until we started making our own water here, fuel that we initially came in with and all of our equipment had to come in by air.
And most of it comes in on C-17s, the newest Air Force cargo plane and the aircraft of choice for this airlift. It can carry a big load, including helicopters and Humvees, plus it can land on a relatively short runway without lights if necessary. In recent Allied military efforts, including both humanitarian and combat operations from Rwanda to Kosovo, other countries have turned to the United States to provide airlift. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Gray, who manages airfield operations in Kandahar, says no other country could handle an air bridge like the one run here by the United States.
The Americans are the only ones that can support this kind of airlift with our air refueling capability and the size of our cargo aircraft that particularly we're operating in unimproved airstrips like we have out here. We are the only people that can do that in any sizable quantities.
Canadian troops in Kandahar have depended on the U.S. Air Force to bring in much of their equipment, and European governments routinely bemoan their weaknesses in air transport. Lauren Thompson, a defense analyst at the Lexington Institute in Arlington, Virginia, says U.S. military planners have long recognized the importance of a strategic airlift capability.
The United States is the only military power in the world that routinely tries to carry forces to the opposite side of the world. If you don't have the ability to do that and do it quickly, then most of your other forces are kind of irrelevant.
In the Afghanistan war, neighboring countries were uneasy about having their territory used by U.S. forces as combat staging areas. U.S. defense planners see this basing problem as one likely to come up again in coming years as more wars are fought in hard-to-reach places. The Bush administration's emphasis on transforming the U.S. military has focused attention on futuristic programs like missile defense, unmanned aircraft, and high-tech destroyers. But Lauren Thompson says the capability to transport troops and equipment over long distances must be part of any redesign of the U.S. military for the 21st century.
The lesson of the Balkan Air War and the lesson of Afghanistan is if you want to put any forces on the ground, you need airlift. And I think the new administration has gotten that lesson pretty clear.
So far, there have been enough cargo aircraft to handle the needs of the current war. But many of the air crews flying lift missions into Afghanistan are reservists. Air Force Colonel David Estep, commander of the 437th Air Expeditionary Group, supplies crews for the Afghanistan airlift from the Rhein-Main Air Base in Frankfurt, Germany.
If we had to do this for the long haul, then we were going to run into fatigue issues with the crew. It's a very long crew duty day. Most of these crews are up for anywhere from 23 to 26 hours, just from the time they get up and get here and fly and finally return. So that starts to take a toll on the human body. And eventually you're going to fly the airplane so often that you need to at least have some reconstitution period to do some periodic maintenance and things like that. For the time period we've doing it, we've been okay, but there would be a question if we had to continue this for another year or two, how would we settle in for the marathon run rather than the sprint?
The Air Force answer to airlift needs is to buy more C-17 aircraft. It has about 80 in the fleet now, 40 more on the way, and there are plans to order another 60 in May. Tom Gelton, NPR News.